Happy Easter, everyone. No, wait, I'm so confused. It's 70 degrees outside, so it feels like spring, right? But it's nighttime, and there's a star and an Advent wreath, and it looks more like Christmas. My first Christmas Eve to preach for you as your co-pastor, and I don't know what I'm supposed to be preaching on. It's like I woke up into some strange alternate reality. What's the date today? Oh, December 24th. Okay, then I guess it really is Christmas. Although it feels more like Christmas in July than December, we actually turned on the air conditioning this evening. Aren't you all glad you didn't spend money on airline tickets to Florida this year? When you wake up tomorrow morning, you can just pretend you really are in Florida. I think we have a better chance of getting snow for Easter this year than Christmas. Regardless of the weather, though, our journey through Advent this year has been a journey of awakening. Over the past 4 weeks, we have been encouraged to wake up to the divine presence in our midst, to wake up to God's hopes and dreams for the world, to wake up to everything in our world that is not what God intends, to wake up to our calling as people of faith, to work towards bringing God's kingdom to earth. And now, as the Apostle Paul writes to the Roman church, you know what time it is. It is time to wake up from your sleep. Salvation is near, the night is far gone, and the light is dawning. Now the time has arrived. It is Christmas Eve. So I ask you, what will you wake up to tomorrow morning? Will you wake up to the impatient pleas of excited children? Will you begrudgingly get up and start the coffee and prepare yourself for a marathon of gift-giving, cooking, and family gatherings? Will you wake up to a full-blown holiday bonanza, complete with lights blazing and music blaring? Or will you wake up to something not quite so cheerful? Maybe an empty place at your table, or in your heart as you grieve the loss of a loved one. Or maybe a mountain of debt from all of those holiday shopping sprees. Or maybe doubts or questions about your identity or your purpose in life or your faith. Maybe unending anxiety about the future. Heartache, pain, or loneliness as the holiday intensifies your awareness of broken dreams or broken relationships. What will you wake up to tomorrow morning? And to what do you think God is hoping you will wake up tomorrow? Tonight we hear the familiar words of the Christmas story from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. The story begins like this. A long time ago in a Galilee far, far away... Oops, wrong story. You didn't think I'd neglect to mention Star Wars tonight, did you? And a shout out to the Dominion Chalmers Church in Ottawa, Ontario, who was so clever to put that on their church sign this week. Seriously, though, our scriptures tonight are both about people awakening to surprising news and new possibilities. Joseph, an ordinary carpenter, in a small village in a backwater of the Roman Empire, has recently discovered the heartbreaking news that his fiancée is pregnant, and he knows it's not his child. Being a righteous and kind man, and not wanting to make things more difficult for Mary, Joseph goes to bed one night, resolved that he will dismiss her quietly, and resigned to being a bachelor. But while he is sleeping, an angel from the Lord visits Joseph in a dream and awakens him to a completely different plan. When Joseph wakes up in the morning, he does exactly what God commands. He marries Mary, claims her unborn child as his own, and prepares to be a father to the Son of God. Imagine waking up to that. In our second lesson from Luke, we find lowly shepherds watching their flocks on the hillsides outside of another little town in the Roman Empire. It is a quiet night, the sheep grazing, the shepherds dozing, when all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appears. The glory of the Lord shines all around. And those poor shepherds are so startled and scared, they are shaking in their sandals. "Fear not," the angel says, "for I bring you great news of joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Messiah, the Lord." Then the angel is surrounded by a heavenly chorus who strike up the band and fill the night with singing and praise. What a wake-up call. The shepherds awoke that night to a whole new world, a world in which lowly shepherds like them were deemed worthy to be the first to hear and to share the good news that Christ was born. The Messiah had come. Hope and love and peace and joy were born anew that night, not only for the shepherds, but for all who would hear and respond to this good news. God is with us. Life will never be the same. It's time to wake up and go to Bethlehem, they said, to kneel at the manger, to worship the newborn king, to awaken to new possibilities we can't even imagine. This past August brought the death of neurologist and prolific author Oliver Sacks, who is best known for exploring some of the brain's strangest pathways and for his dedicated practice with his patients. His book, Awakenings, was made into a major motion picture starring Robin Williams and Robert De Niro. In the movie, Robin Williams plays a fictionalized version of Sacks and tells the story of his work with patients at the Beth Abraham Hospital in the Bronx. Sacks pioneered the use of the drug L-DOPA with patients suffering from an atypical form of encephalitis, which left many of them catatonic, locked inside themselves for decades as a result of what was then called sleeping sickness. With the help of the drug, many of Sacks' patients awoke to a whole new world, and they were able to discover for themselves some of the simple joys of living, things that many of us take for granted. I love to discover the potential in people who aren't thought to have any, Sacks told People magazine in 1986. Unfortunately, the miraculous results from the drug didn't last long, and eventually his patients returned one by one to their catatonic states. In the movie, Sacks' character explained to a group of donors who funded his research that although the awakening did not last, another kind of awakening, one of learning to appreciate and live life, had happened. This was perhaps most noticeable in the hospital staff who treated their patients with more humanity and compassion than they had before, and who started to take greater risks of love and life in their own lives. What are we awakening to this Christmas? What would that sort of awakening look like in us? What greater potential might be slumbering within ourselves, waiting to wake up and discover deeper meaning and purpose for our lives? What if instead of the crazy commercial consumer Christmas all around us, we woke up tomorrow to the true meaning of Christ's birth? That God took on flesh and dwelt among us, that we might discover who God created us to be and then live into that possibility and future with God. This year, blogger Jason Sorosky awoke to a new understanding of Christmas through an unlikely cartoon character, Linus, from the Peanuts Gang. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the TV special, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Sorosky in his blog reminisces about when he was in first grade and his class put on A Charlie Brown Christmas at school. Sorosky was chosen to play the part of Linus, because he was a bookworm and he already had a blue blanket. To this day, he can still remember his lines from that scene where Linus explains the true meaning of Christmas to Charlie Brown and the rest of the gang. He can still recite those words from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, words that the TV networks tried to convince Charles Schulz to drop from the show. Swarovski writes, "But while working so diligently to learn those lines, there's one important thing I didn't notice then, and I didn't notice until now. Right in the middle of speaking, Linus drops his blanket." Charlie Brown is best known for his uniquely striped shirt, and Linus is most associated with his ever-present security blanket. Throughout the story of Peanuts, Lucy, Snoopy, Sally, and all the others work to no avail to separate Linus from his blanket. And even though his security blanket remains a source of ridicule for the otherwise mature and thoughtful Linus, he simply refuses to give it up. Until this moment, when he simply drops it. In that climactic scene when Linus shares what Christmas is all about, he drops his security blanket, and Swarovski continues, "I am now convinced that this is intentional. Most telling is the specific moment he drops it, when he utters the words, 'Fear not.' Looking at it now, it is pretty clear what Charles Schulz was saying, and it's so simple that it's brilliant. The birth of Jesus separates us from our fears. The birth of Jesus frees us from the habits we are unable or unwilling to break ourselves. The birth of Jesus allows us to simply drop the false security we have been grasping so tightly and learn to trust and cling to God instead." I would add that not only does the birth of Jesus invite us to let go of all of those things that distract or drain our lives of its meaning and joy, but the birth of Jesus also wakes us up to new hope and new possibilities for love and life. What will you wake up to tomorrow morning? As we awaken on Christmas morning, I pray that we will not sleep through the deeper meaning and real reason for our celebration. Instead, let us wipe the sleep of commercial frenzy and false security from our eyes. Let us rise above our fears and anxieties, our unrealistic expectations of ourselves or others, our self-centered concerns. Let us lay aside for just a little while our griefs and our hurts. On Christmas morning, may we awaken once again to the light of the world dawning in our hearts and in our lives. Let us wake up to the good news that no matter who we are or where we're from or where we're headed, God's gift of love is offered anew this day. May we awaken to our identity as children of light. And may we live into new possibilities for serving God together, bringing God's kingdom of peace and justice to earth. And may the force of God's love and light be with you this night and always. Amen.